Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. We're living in perilous times. Very soon we're going to see things that we hadn't expected. We all like to believe that Jesus is returning soon. The problem is, the Bible is telling us that Christians will indeed go through at least 1260 days of the tribulation. And there's some verses that should be considered on showing that this is going to be the case. Satan is going to do some things. And one of the things that what the Bible says is there's going to be four horses. And there's other information in the book of Revelation that says that Antichrist is going to do war with the saints. Now, how can you do war with the saints if all the saints are gone? Remember? Bobby, you know, you love this Darby thing that started way back 100 years ago, or a little bit more, that the rapture will come before the tribulation. And if this is true, then that means everybody that is a Christian that believes in Jesus would disappear off of earth. Then, you know, right away, Satan, through Antichrist, is going to make war with the saints. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. The only way that your idea that the rapture will happen before the trib is that somehow lots of people get saved in the type of a way that they could be some sort of a threat to Antichrist. And lots of you have different ways of trying to invent Christians to magically appear all over the world so Satan can have war with them. But it doesn't work that way. But what does work is in Revelation chapter 20, it says there are two risings of the dead. He talks about there is the first rising of the dead, and these people are the ones that died believing in Christ. Then there's a second rising of the dead, which are the people that died that did not believe in Christ. There are no other risings of the dead, except for on occasion, there's a few here and there rising from the dead, but there are different kind of circumstances. It's not like the whole world of dead Christians rise, or a whole world of dead non-Christians rise. The point in this area that I want to try to make is, it would be to your own interest to figure out what's about to happen. Because you need to know a few things. You're going to go through 1,265 days of the tribulation, and I think you'll almost go through another 75 days. This isn't setting any time or date, because the only way you can know when the 1,260 days start is when you see the two. You know the two witnesses? When you see them do something that changes things. The Bible says they tell the rain to rain no more for the length of their ministry. What do you think the rain is? I could look out the window right now. There's a window back over there. And I see rain. Is that what it's saying? That they're going to stop H2O? Well, indeed, they may stop H2O from coming out of the sky. But water is something different. Since the very day that Jesus rose and the 500 people saw them rise, and then the 320 that was waiting, and the Holy Spirit came down, ever since you could say the sinner's prayer and invite Jesus into your life, because you believe he's the Son of God and God rose him on the third day and he died for your sin, ever since you could pray a little prayer like that, we've had the water. You never have even one day without the water in the past 2,000 years. And you have no idea what it is to live by faith. Now, people always give testimony to things that we assume would be living by faith, and to a degree or another, there is some truth in that, in living by faith. But you're not living by faith alone. We have a little interesting thing that this person that was walked across a desert, and he looked behind himself, and he saw one set of footprints. So he said, "Jesus, where were you in this valley, in this desert that I just crossed?" And Jesus told him, "Those were my footprints, because I was carrying you across." There never was a time without water, people, for Christians. There's coming a time, and the two witnesses are going to be visibly seen to stop this water. And this water, once it stops, this rain that the Bible talks about, every Christian in the world is going to feel it. Because suddenly, probably instantly, you're going to feel like Jesus forsook you. Now you know, by faith, by reading the Bible, Jesus will never forsake you. But your senses don't know that at all. Your senses is only reporting something. You touch something, it'll tell you if it's hot or not. It doesn't care about anything else. It just says, "Well, it's hot. Say ouch." Or it's cold. Say, "Ooh." Or it's good. Say, "Ah." You know, that's all your senses are going to do. You're going to see something, and there it is. So you can manipulate these things. You can present them. We watch TV all the time, not real at all. Even watching the news, that's not really real. Not what they're telling us. It's quite manipulated. It's quite divisive, setting one half of society against the other half. Almost across the board on every subject, just about. You got those that are for this and those that are against this. On just about every issue. And about every kind of thing that ever happens. You don't have anything that a lot of the people really agree on. That it's more lopsided, that you know, we're going the way that most everybody is believing. No, we have 50-50, so it's like a fight between the two, just to get their ideals made. We don't see things that are actually real. We go to school and we learn all things about our history in America. We read the books and everything. And so we're going on because we read it and we heard the teacher teach us, we believe it. And that's not, I mean, what we by faith, we just accept what we're told. And that's what you do with your pastors, too. You turn on Christian television, that's what you do when you watch that stuff. You don't even think about checking it out. And this rapture idea is, hey, it's a done deal. We don't need to do nothing about it because it's just going to happen. We're going to be gone before the tribulation. That is just all that you can imagine. The guy that developed this theory, there's two people actually, saw a documentary last night that gave all the credit to Darby. Okay, well, there's this woman that's Margaret, that I believe 1830 or something, and I think Darby came around 1840, someplace in this earlier side of the 18th century. The theory that there will be a pre-trib rapture and also a rapture, as it were, to all to begin with. I definitely believe there's going to be a rapture. But I don't believe it's going to be the first before the tribulation. You know, I'm Assembly of God, 32 years or so, Assembly of God. You'd think that, boy, I would really believe in pre-trib. And that's what I did for a while. Until something happened that I had to basically, I saw something, you know, like on TV, and they were playing a little game. Each one of them said, "I'm going to pretend like I'm a pre-trib." I'm going to, the other guy pretend like they're a post-trib. And another one, a mid-trib. It seemed kind of a little bit funny, but then a couple key things the mid-trib person said as he was pretending to be a mid-trib believer on TBN that hit a core. And so I began to do some research because I've had lots of trouble with the Old Testament and so many things because whenever I read it, it keeps on saying that us Christians are going to go through a lot of trouble come time of the last days. And how could that ever be if we're gone out of there? It can't be the nation of Israel because Israel don't even have a clue that Jesus is their Messiah. They won't know until a moment they'll know whom they pierced. It cannot be talking about the nation of Israel. And it has not. Many things happened to Christians in the time, but not like the Old Testament talks about what's going to be before Jesus returns. And it just bothered me. How can it be? There's other things that really, really bothered me. How can you just automatically have two individuals just suddenly be all matured up in God soon as the rapture happens? I mean, if they believed in God and were Christians, they would be raptured out. God is, see, this phenomena of the rapture isn't a pick and choose. It is if you believe in Jesus Christ and you haven't swayed from that faith, you haven't turned your back on Jesus, if you believe that he's the Son of God and he rose on the third day, you're going to get raptured if you're alive. Period. There's no special thing that God's going to say, no, I'm going to take you out because I'm going to need you in these next few days. No, it doesn't work like that, people. That is not how it happens. So how can the witnesses be so powerful in their message for 1260 days? How did they get this from day one to have this experience in Jesus Christ? Hey, people like to say, well, they studied a long time. They, you know, they're trying to prove the Bible wrong or something, so they know the Bible upside down and backwards because they always are the people that are boy, you know, God is not going to be using somebody unless they have been a good deal of time with him. Somehow got that quality time with Jesus Christ one-on-one to be able to go out and begin doing the mess. They've got to be trained their entire life to be the two witnesses. The two witnesses have just thought, okay, now's the time. And the two witnesses are not the Holy Spirit and the Bible. No, no, no. That is not how God works. God has a behavior. You can see his behavior throughout the Bible. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change for the sake of ideals about how things are going to happen. If we're going to have a powerful nation rise up, seem unstoppingly, cannot stop them, they're coming up, and they're evil, they don't believe, and they're going to do one thing, because that's all that God has ever done throughout all the history of God and the Bible. All the past 6,000 years, all the, specifically the past 5,000 years, God raises nations, make them a superpower, and they don't believe in God. They have other gods and other types of deals to do what? To spank his children. Once the spanking is done, then he turns and he destroys that vessel that he created specially for destruction. Antichrist's kingdom was created for destruction, but it was created to spank God's people. That's the first and foremost reason that we're going to have a one-world government, because we could track the Bible, and we could see God's behavior century after century, millennia after millennia, day after day, month after month, that God behaves. We can watch what he does in the history that the Bible tells us. And we could study history otherwise, too. God rises up nations to spank his people. The tribulation period, the one world government, Antichrist, Christ's kingdom is not going to be different than what God has always done before. He is not going to do a new thing. He is only going to be himself and behave as himself, which is, it's time to spank Christians. And he's been a very long time with Antichrist's kingdom, 5,000 years, and even that other 1,000 years in the days of Noah. So that we would have a group of people that is free of demon possession, so you cannot stop them. And their free will, so you cannot beg Jesus to do something about some of these people. You could pick a few of them off. But it ain't going to stop them, because God hardens their heart like he hardens Pharaoh's heart. Like he hardened the nation of Israel, so they will not know Jesus as their Messiah until in a moment they see whom they pierced. And then they will, the remnant will come and accept him. The church is in blindness in lots of areas. And why? The Israel was in blindness for the Gentiles can come to Christ and know Christ. The season of the Gentiles is coming to a close. Church, your season is coming to a close. The hierarchy of the church is going to be the evil people. Do you know that? Assembly of God, look at the headquarters. That structure is operating for Antichrist. Any hierarchy, headquarters of denominations, you could track it. You could tell it in the internet. And you could search all over the place. If you're old, and you have done this by going to the library and by going to places and seek it out, by running into things, by calling on God, give me an answer and lead or something, going there, and then you search it out yourself the hard way. Now we don't have to do the hard way so much. We can still do it, because we can say, well, we hear all these things, there's so much credibility in the site that we went to, but I'm going to check it out. So we go. In here in Tacoma. I mean, not home, in Seattle area, we go to SeaTac Airport. We have this site online that says there's a federal-type prison. It's got plenty of land at the south side of SeaTac Airport. I never bothered too much about that, but one day I was kind of in the area, and I thought, I'm just going to drive by the south side of the airport and see if anything there. What was that? This huge federal prison. Brand new structure, kind of looks so new. You drive by today, it looks pretty new. And then you go down that road a little bit and you see all of this kind of place. You can't see in there. It's all a vacant type of area. There's no housing, there's no nothing. A vast area there. You can't see in there. It's too wooded from the road. But it's all fenced in from that. As it is described on the internet, it actually exists there. Maybe it's just a simple old federal prison, you know. But anyway, you can go to some of these places. I'm driving down I-5 in California. And I see this. Oh, what's this? You usually can tell because of the way the chain link fences and the way the barbs are facing, you know, if it's a prison, they face inward. If it's a place that they don't want you to get in, it faces outward. So here's the thing. And they're building it. You've seen all these tractors going by, and they've got all these fences with the thing inward so that people inside can't get out. And then there's this big building. I have a good video camera. I can zoom right up in it. I can count the doors on either side. It is set up railroad tracks. About 7 across could go into this facility. The doors can be rolled up, they can go in, and on the other side, the door, after it's done what they're going to do, the doors can go up and they can go out. They got a smokestack on there. You're reading on the internet about the description of this kind of building. That it is a place where you have these rail cars that have shackles in them, that you're all chained up, You could actually, they could roll the rail cars into these kind of buildings. There's venting in the rail car. They turn on the gas, kill you, turn off the gas, roll you out the other side to a place to burn you. Burn you up. Without even having to take you out of the rail car. They bring in, there's some enough rail cars that are these prison shackles included rail cars to transport 15 million people. It's real. You can see them. There's orders. You can read documents of orders that says we're buying prison rail cars from China. Canada recently relaxed their border on the Pacific Ocean side. It's an open border as it was. They just happened to sign a bill. Let's not watch our border so it's open. Anybody can come in. Why? Because you can read. You can search out. You don't have to just go to one Crackle site and just say it's Crackle. You can go to this and the other ones. And you go to this one. You go to that one. And you say, wait, some of these people are pretty interesting. I mean, look at their list of credibility. It's not some kind of wacko type of thing. The armies of China are going to come in. They're also going to come into that California coast, so they'll be all up and down our long border there. There is 2 million Russian troops in Mexico. There's 3 million foreign troops in the United States. We're going to send our army folk, our troops, overseas because it's going to be pretty hard. You know, you can't just say in America, hey, you know, why don't you start rounding up these people and if they mess up, shoot them. It's going to be pretty hard. So there's going to be a lot of Americans that can do that, but most of these troops that are American, it's going to have trouble. They'll kill the other people. They'll go to Iraq and they can kill them. That's easy enough to do. You know, we get all our troops out there so we don't have too many here. Well, we got 3 million foreign troops here. And they're all ready to go. They're prepared. And they pretty much don't like us. Bush saw to that. And so, and hey, you don't want to listen to this because you're a Christian and you don't want to think that you're going to be here during the trend. So you just blind your eyes to all that's around you. Then what happens? See, one of the credentials is you just believe in Jesus. You don't have to be a really great believer. But they believe that if you believe in Jesus, you'll never accept him. And so, they're going to come get you. For at least 10 to 15, maybe more million people, they're going to just execute. Then there's another about 30 million or so that they're going to take to prison camps and try to re-educate or execute. There's millions and millions of people. And you look at the list. Your name might be on it. If you don't know Jesus right now, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. And that God rose you on the third day. Forgive me of my sin and come into my life. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now read the King James Version because all other versions are modern versions and they come from two people, Westcott and Hort. Simple. Put Westcott and Hort in the internet browser you have and see what comes up. You know? They all can't be wacko sites or conspiracy or whatever you want to call them. There must be something about to happen and you're not ready.